I want to again greet each one of you this morning in Jesus' name. I thought for a second there Dana was going to dismiss us. But we do have something we want to look at this morning before that happens. I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles this morning to James chapter 1. I've titled my message this morning, Grace Enough. And while you're turning there, I'm going to look at a couple other scriptures here. One of the scriptures I have right at the heading this morning, something we want us to think about a little bit, keep rolling around in our mind. I'm not going to talk much about this verse now, but we'll come to this at the end of the message. But 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9 says, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, excuse me, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." I'm going to preach an upside down message this morning, because that's the kingdom, isn't it? I want us to think a little bit this morning about being sick. None of us enjoy being sick. I don't think so. When we're sick, there's a struggle that we're going through in our body physically. And as a matter of fact, if you do some research and you look back at measles, mumps, and some of those things as children, those are actually healthy things to go through down the road. But as we get a little bit older, sometimes we face sickness. And it takes something in this sickness to help us to come over that sickness. I have something here with me this morning I've never taken. Castor oil. Who would like to come try some of this? Castor oil is good for quite a few things, and we're not going to mention a whole lot about what it's good for. But it will help us move. But sometimes we face sicknesses, and we have to work through some things. Maybe we get pounded a little bit to come out on the other side healthy. Let's go and look at this a little bit in a spiritual sense. Looking at our sickness or our time that we're going through as a season. We have the four seasons. We have winter, we have summer, we got spring, we got fall. And sometimes it's frustrating. We look at some people and it seems like they're always enjoying summer in their spiritual walk. Why can't they face some of the winter like I face? Maybe they're enjoying spring a lot. Why not some of the winter like I face? But I want us to think about what comes after winter. We're in winter right now. It's kind of deadish out there. The snow is beautiful. What happens in spring? What do we see beginning to come out of the ground? New life. So the winter that we're in sometimes is a preparation for growth. Coming out of. I want us to think this morning just for a bit here who we are. And I did this here a while ago in a message, and I'm going to do this again this morning. But who are we? Who we are? 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But ye are a chosen generation." I want us to keep that at the forefront. We're chosen. We're picked out. We are a royal priesthood and a holy nation, a peculiar people. Peculiar has the idea of being called into, making it, being made a part of. His very own possession. Why? That you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And I've separated my message this morning into three different sections. We're going to look at trial, we're going to look at purpose, and we're going to look at outcome. Let's read James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. He says there, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." I want us to think a little bit about Michelangelo, and I got this off of a recording that I looked at. But Michelangelo, when he went to create something out of the marble stone, he didn't picture in his mind, I'm going to create so-and-so out of this stone. But instead he pictured, inside this stone is this piece of art. I'm going to chip away at it so this piece of art comes out of this, because it's within this. And I believe that's how Jesus looks at us. He's wanting to bring something out that's within us, that He placed there. And He begins to chip away. He begins to work in our hearts, in our lives. Let's look first of all at verse 2. James 1 verse 2. It says, "My brother, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." I'm going to look first of all at the word fall. We use that word pretty loosely today. We talk about falling in love. We talk about falling into a mud puddle. That's not love, by the way. The idea that's given here is a man that was going from Jerusalem to Jericho. He fell among the thieves. He came into a situation. He fell into this. And I believe that's what he's trying to tell us here. When you fall into diverse temptations, it's not something, I didn't get on my bicycle and head out there to try to find a place to fall into. We come into those situations and therefore a purpose, and we'll see that as we go a little further here. What are the temptations? The word temptation here is not exactly as what we would normally look at the word temptation. But the word temptation has the idea of trials or conditions that we come into. Conditions where God is going to test us. And we find in this testing if we're faithful that we grow. But it's not the testing specifically, but it's our choice as to what we do with that testing, because we can be tested and we can turn bitter. And it doesn't happen what God wants out of our lives. But when we choose to not become bitter, to allow God to work in our lives, then we can move forward. Temptations are sufferings that we really don't desire. Then there's the thought, can Jesus use these temptations that Satan brings to us for good? I want us to think about Job for a little bit. Satan wanted to test Job. But there's something behind that I want us to think about. Satan could not without God allowing it. Think about that this morning. Satan could not move ahead unless God allowed that testing. God is going to bring something good out of these testings that we go through. They have purpose. But then he also says there, he says, "My brethren, count it all joy." So he's saying these temptations that we come into, count those as joy. That's backwards. That's how we would look at it today, isn't it? But in the kingdom, it's not backwards. We're going to see why here in a bit. But count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Divers has the idea of many, many colors. A whole bunch of different types of temptations and trials that we come into. So how can I count this all joy? Because pain is involved in these temptations, these struggles, these trials. And I don't really enjoy that pain. Why can I count it joy? And I want us to think this morning about joy being rooted in relationship. Joy being rooted in relationship. It's not very popular today for us to talk about heaven and hell, or I should say about hell. We talk a lot about heaven, but it's not very popular to talk about hell because that's negative. And I want us this morning to realize, even though it's not popular, we need to talk about hell. We need to talk about Jesus and about Satan. Because in this relationship, the relationships that we have today, there's only two relationships that we can't have. We can only have a relationship with Jesus Christ or a relationship with Satan. They don't mix. Now we give room for growth. Somebody that has become a new believer, that's growing. We give room for that. But there's ultimately only two different things that we can serve, that we can have relationship with. And as Christians, as Christ followers, our relationship is with Jesus. But there's a word that we use here that is just not a fun word. When we have a relationship with Christ, we surrender. That's not a fun word. Surrender means that I give up what I want for the sake of Christ, for honoring Him and glorifying Him. We surrender. for His cause, for His eternal purpose. I want this relationship at my own discretion. I want it when it feels right and when it feels good. But we surrender. Jesus requires us giving all, holding nothing back. And I believe that's why so many believers today don't have relationship, because they're not willing to surrender. They really have not yet made Him Savior, made Him Lord of their lives. And I challenge us this morning, let's do that. Let's surrender. Let's make Him Lord of our life if we haven't yet. If we have, let's walk in that with joy. Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." He's standing at my door. He's standing at your door and He's knocking. He said, "If any man will hear my voice, any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." I had to think about Jesus coming, I'm talking physically now, coming into my dining room at home. I'm sitting at the table. There's a knock on the door. I go out and I open the door and Jesus comes in and says, "Can I come in and eat with you? Can I come in and sup with you?" And He comes in and He sits down at the chairs that are at our table. And He eats with us. That's what He says I want to do spiritually. I knock on your door. I want to come in. I want to commune with you. I want a relationship with you. It's so beautiful when I think about it. We like to look at the Bible as a rule book. It's nothing but just a whole bunch of rules. And I hate it so much that this is the idea that non-believers have gotten, that as Christians, this is all we do. All we do is follow this rule book, because it's nothing but a bunch of rules, and I don't want rules in my life. I don't believe this morning that the Bible is nothing but a bunch of rules, or is a rule book. I think we're missing purpose if we have the idea that this is nothing but just a bunch of rules. Somebody tell me, what is the Bible? It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It tells us all about where we come from. The sin need, or the sin that we have, the need that we have. And then it explains to us, how can we get to know Him and have relationship with purpose? We've all sinned. We've come short. But there's such a beautiful verse in Psalm 103. Like when I look at this, it makes me cry. Verse 8, it says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious. He's slow to anger and plenteous in mercy." That's my Jesus. That's my God. Is He yours? I worked for a guy at Coachman. He was not slow to anger. It didn't take much for me to make a little mismove and he was all over me. Here it says Jesus is slow to anger. He's gracious. He's plenteous in mercy. He's so full of compassion, pursuing us, wanting us to be a part of His kingdom. A couple of verses here that I used last time, and I'm going to continue using these two verses because they're some of my favorites, and they're not going to get old. Romans 10:9, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." He says, abide in me and I in you. There's a two-way thing here. I want you to hear three words. When the disciples were walking on this earth, next to Jesus, they walked with Him. Hear that word, they walked with Him. They listened to Him. Second word, they walked and they listened. The third word is they obeyed Him. They walked, they listened, they obeyed. So now today we have the written word. And as we read, as we learn, as we communicate, and as we have relationship, we walk with Him. It's a beautiful picture. We listen to Him and then we obey Him. Doesn't sound that difficult, does it? There's so much good in that. Relationship is vital in our walk with Him. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. And while you're turning there, I'm going to read a couple of verses out of Acts. And these are just some verses that have to do with joy in our trials. Acts 5:40 says, "And when they had called the apostles and beaten them," the council here, "they had beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name." They were rejoicing. I would have probably rejoiced that I've been set free. They were rejoicing that they had the opportunity to suffer because they had a relationship. Because they loved him. And they knew they were loved by him. Matthew 5, let's go to verse 10. He says, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." So blessed are joyful, happy, those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." Then he says, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad." Let me say that again. "Rejoice and be exceeding glad. For great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." I want us to think about exceeding glad. We're going to look at another scripture here that will explain a little bit what that exceeding is. I think I want you to turn to Luke 6. Let's turn there, and I want you to see this phrase. Luke 6, we're going to look at verse 22 and verse 23. Again, we're thinking about the idea that the suffering that we face can be done with joy if we know why. And hopefully we'll get to that here in a little bit more. Luke 6, 22 says, "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil, for the Son of Man's sake." And listen to this verse. He says, "Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy." That's exceeding. "Leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets." I can imagine somebody leaping for joy today because they won the lottery. But for suffering? Let's continue. Maybe we can find out why we leap for joy in suffering. I had to think about the struggles that we face. The struggles that we face today, to be right honest with you, I'd like to just not have them. When we think about the way we think as human beings, we think about the idea, you know, God, why can't you just give me the good? Why can't you just give me the good? Grow me that way. But Lord, don't take me through the struggles. I don't like struggles. Isaiah 43, verse 2 and 3. He says, "When thou passest through the waters." Now listen to this. He didn't say, "I'm going to build a bridge." The waters are here. The waters of trouble, struggle, and trial are right here. And I'm not going to build a bridge across that. But he says, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee." I'm going to walk through those waters with you. I'm going to give you the strength that you need to get to the other side. "And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee." You're not going to drown. "And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." Why? "For I am the Lord thy God." That has to happen. If we're going to be able to walk through the trials that we have, He's going to lead us through. We have to make Him our Savior, our God. I beg of you this morning to think about that. Time is short. He wants to do a work within our hearts, within our lives. I wanted to look at the second part of the sermon here is purpose. And I promise it's not going to be as long as the first one was. Purpose. Verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Patience, or patient endurance. God wants to strengthen us to make us strong. So when the trials in life come, that we've got strength, that we're built up. A bodybuilder doesn't walk into a gym one day and say, today I'm going to work out, and by the time I'm done, I'm done. But it's endurance. He goes in and he continues to work out. He continues to work out. Remember when I was at Fairplay, we used to go to a gym to play racquetball. And I walked in there one day, and here was a dude that was, yeah, he was built. He was huge. So I asked him, I said, how long did it take you to get to where you are today? He said, 7 years of continual working out. Patient endurance. How are we going to become strong in our relationship with Christ? Patient endurance. Sticking with it. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. The trying here has the idea of being approved. Our faith being tested and being approved. Like I said earlier, when we face those trials, we have a choice to make. We can become bitter or we can become better. And we know what happens when we become bitter. We go back and we have to go through that trial again. Been there, done that. And I'm sure some of you can say the same thing. We face the trial twice. I love reading stories about the Old West. I love watching movies about the Old West. There's something intriguing about that. Sometimes I wonder if it wouldn't have been better if I lived in that time. I'm sure it wouldn't have been. But I like thinking about that. And the different stories that I've read, the different things I've seen, normally there's a smithy or a blacksmith in the towns in the Old West. And if you wanted anything done with steel, with metal, you went to him. When you walked into his little shop, his little tent or whatever he had, he would have in there a little pot here with fire. The fire is blazing in there. And he's got a grate across the top. But the fire is hot. Maybe he doesn't have a grate. But the fire is really, really hot. He's got coals in there and they're red. But he puts a piece of steel up on top, and if it's not getting red quick enough, he goes over to his bellows and he pumps those bellows and he pushes air through it because it makes it a whole lot hotter. And then he takes that piece of steel, if he's making a horseshoe, he will lay that on top of it until it gets bright red, and then he pulls out his hammer and he begins to hammer to pound. He's creating something. Sometimes that's how we feel. When we're going through a struggle, through a trial, God's putting the heat on us. And then we feel the blows of the hammer. And we want to quit. That's not something that's strange to us here, is it? We like to just quit and walk away. But I want to encourage us this morning. When we come under the blows of the hammer, when the fire gets hot, stick with it. Stick with it. God's working something beautiful in our heart. I was watching a guy do some metal work. And he was making a piece of steel that had twists in it. And as he put that into the heat, and he pulled it out and he grabbed his pliers and he continued to twist, and then he'd take his hammer and he'd tap it and bring it into shape. It looked cruel. But when he was done, he had a beautiful piece of metal. that he was using, I think, for a guard for over a window. But it took that heat. It took that testing. That strengthening. The pain. What would happen someday if we get a prayer chain call? I'm going to use some names here. I didn't ask any permission. They can take care of me later. But let's imagine Gina does, or Marjorie does, a prayer chain call. And they tell us that Dana's going through a really, really tough time right now. He's facing something really, really hard. And they wouldn't ask us to pray that God would remove that from Dana. That's what we normally do, and I'm not saying that's wrong. Please hear me this morning. Because there are times to ask God, can you please remove this? Paul did. We'll look at that in a little bit. But let's imagine Dana's going through a very, very difficult struggle. We know it's a spiritual struggle. And instead of them saying, would you please pray that God would remove this from him? They would say, would you ask God to strengthen him so he can get through this victoriously? Think about that this morning. That's what Paul's telling us here. It's upside down. We're facing a lot of trials here today, aren't we? It's okay. I faced a lot. I know you do too. It's upside down, but it's what God's asking of us. Let me continue to work in your heart. Let me continue to shape you. Listen to these verses in Peter. Beautiful verses. He says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, is a whole lot worth more than money. Anything that we can put our hands on. Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Listen to that. That is so precious. So that is our purpose. We're going through these trials because God's wanting to work something within us. He's wanting to strengthen us, to make us strong for His honor and His glory. That's why we are here. You know, I remember the times that I was so scared of praying, God, would you please take me and do with me whatever you want. I remember praying that to a degree, but I was not willing to let God actually take me. Because I was afraid God's going to do something that's going to slow me down, that's going to cut me back. But friends, think about it this morning. There's nothing. There's nothing that can come into our lives that God can't be there to be with us. We've had so much in our congregation lately. And I've seen people coming through, smiling, crying, smiling, because God has been with us. Let's go to the last section, the outcome. Verse 4, but let patience have a perfect work that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Corrie ten Boom, when she was a young girl, they began keeping Jews at their home, hiding them. Corrie had a fear that someday they would get caught. So she talked to her dad. And she told her dad, What happens if we get caught? I know we're going to the concentration camp, and I just don't know if I'm strong enough for this. So her father reminded her. He said, you remember the many times that we traveled on trains to go here, to go there? She said, yeah. And this is in my own words. She said, I remember those times. He said, Corrie, when did I give you the ticket? She said, just before we boarded. And he said, when it's time to get on the train, God's going to give you the ticket. When that trial comes, that's when God's going to give us the ticket. We will have the strength as He continues to grow us. It's required of us to walk upright. God's gift to us is grace, strength, to remain faithful in our journey. We use this verse in Romans 8, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose, pretty lightly from time to time. But I want us to think about that this morning. God has a plan. He has a purpose for us. And this verse, I believe, is giving us a little bit of a clue. These things that we go through, the struggles, the trials, the shapings, the heat, are working for the good. Those that are called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed. That's the purpose, to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. One of the things, I guess, that I'm so thankful of is that God sees into the future. God doesn't see just today. He sees into the future. And He sees each one of us sitting here this morning. And the struggles and trials that we face are for a purpose, because He knows what we need. He knows exactly what we need. I want us to think again about the forge. About this guy that's pounding on the steel, heating the fire. I want us to think about woodworking. When somebody's making something beautiful out of a piece of wood, they're cutting. They're chipping away with that chisel. There's sanding going on for them to come out with something beautiful. Matthew 5:48 says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Really, I can't be perfect. Dana referred to this in his last message. I want us to think about that word perfect. He's talking about being complete. No. I can't sit here this morning and in my earthly life say that I am perfect because I sin. But when He works in us, verse 4 says, "Let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." He's saying there that allow me to work in your life, to shape you and to mold you, that you may be complete. He says, wanting nothing, lacking nothing. Everything that we need for life and godliness, He will provide. So we are to be perfect in Him in that way. But the fact of the matter is this. Each one of us sitting here today are fragmented pieces, aren't we? We're fragmented pieces. But here's the beautiful thing. The one who created us says, "I want to take those fragmented pieces. I want to put them back together. I want to make something beautiful out of you." Because there's a day coming when He's going to present us before the Father. And He's going to say, "This one here is yours. You gave this one to Me. This one was broken, but He's no longer broken. He's been repaired. We have scars. We have scars where the break was at, but it's been repaired. This one here is beautiful. It's yours." And He's going to present us to the Father. One of the things we need to remember is the fact that we're not here forever. We're just passing through. We're here temporarily. Sometimes we put down our roots so deep, it makes us wonder, are we planning to stay? We're not staying. We're not staying. We're moving on. We're only pilgrims and strangers. So here's my challenge this morning. Realize this morning that His grace is enough. His grace is enough. Every challenge that we face, every trial that we come into, His grace is enough to carry you through, to get you to the other side. And when you come to the other side of the struggle and trial that you have, there's a beauty that comes out of that. Walk with Him. Laura's story is a lady, and some of you might know her from being a contemporary Christian artist. Laura Story was married And within about 2 years of her marriage, they realized that her husband had a brain tumor. All of a sudden, marriage and life just didn't look quite as exciting anymore as it was before. They went ahead and they did surgery. And for the rest of his life, they're going to face struggles because of this brain tumor. I'm going to play one of Laura Story's songs in here in just a bit. How she came through that, most of you are probably going to know the song that's played. But I want to open up this morning. We've got broken pieces. We've got healed pieces. I'd like for you to stand this morning. We're not here this morning to force anybody. But I want you to know this morning that this altar here is open. If you're sensing this morning that there's some broken pieces that you'd like to give to the Lord and ask Him to heal, I invite you to come up. We're not going to wait long. Maybe you need somebody this morning just to come and pray with you. God is our healer. The struggles that we go through, He's our healer. And that's His, I think it's His delight. To come and touch our hearts and to bring together those fragmented broken pieces and make something beautiful out of it. I'm going to pray. And if you sense the Spirit leading you this morning, don't quench the Spirit, but come forward and allow Him to heal you, to touch you. Let's bow our heads. God, we thank You this morning so much. We thank You, Lord, that You are the healer. Yes, Lord, there's struggles, there's trials. There's some deep valleys that we go through. Because You're shaping us, You're molding us for Your kingdom. Lord, I pray for our congregation here this morning. I pray, Lord, that You would touch each heart, each life. I pray, Lord, that You would bring healing to those that are struggling through difficulties right now. I pray, Lord, that we could maybe build that altar today. That this is where I'm beginning to allow You to touch my life and to heal me. Father, let Your Spirit move amongst us. We thank You so much for Your great love. You're the perfect example of laying down Your life, being broken for us, scarred. Thank You for that. We just want to bless Your name this morning. We love You so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like for some sisters, if you would come up and put your arms around these people. Your sisters up here and pray with them. Do we have at least two come up this morning? And I want to continue to ask you this week. As God speaks to you, as the Holy Spirit speaks to you, allow Him to mend those breaks. Can you play the song?
We pray for blessings, we pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray for Your mighty hand to ease our suffering. And all the while, You hear His spoken need. Yet love is way too much to give us lesser things. Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if the devil sleeps at night? So what it takes to know your name? What if trials are disguised? Are your mercies in disguise? Nice. All your mercies in disguise.